Well, I also wish I had the lyrics to that last song, because that really is, between these two songs, this is why Michael is good at what he does, because he actually reads what we're going to talk about, and then he finds songs that fit what we're going to talk about, and those two literally nail it. So I'm done. Just sing those songs again, and then you'll... But my first question to you is, how do you handle the tough struggles and the pains and the pressures of life? Do you run and hide? Do you yell at everyone that's around you and then you apologize later? Or do you avoid it? Kind of like putting your head under the covers as a little kid. You can't see me. The monsters will go away. You pray with a hopeful sigh. Or maybe some of you are still living in the paralyzing world of what if. What if my kid gets hurt? What if I invest my money in the stock market and lose everything? I talked to a friend that was a financial advisor, and he told me that August is a particularly dangerous month to speculate in stocks. He continued by saying, the others are September, October, November, December, and then the first 7 months of the new year. So maybe another what if I lose my job? There's so much pressure to prove yourself in our weakening economy. I was talking to a lady who just never takes vacation. Can't they get along without you? I asked her. And she said, I'm sure they can, but I don't want them to realize it. What ifs are everywhere in our lives, aren't they? What if my kid gets sick? What if that person enters my life again? What if, well, you get the point. You know what all those what if statements revolve around is two words, fear and anxiety. Our focus character today, who leveled up from fear and anxiety, is Elisha. Not Elijah, talked about him last week. Elijah with a J, no, this is Elisha with an S. He was actually the successor to Elijah, right? We talked about that last week, that Elijah passed the mantle to Elisha. Now you do this. You do what I have done. How I have prophesied. How I have worked God's work. And Elisha was a prophet who was known throughout the region as a man of God. God would speak through Elisha as a prophet to the people. Now, Elisha came into leadership during some really turbulent times. In fact, Israel was in the midst of a messy civil war. The kingdom was divided into the north and to the south. There's constant tension between the borders. But to make matters worse, they had several enemies who wanted their territory. Because whoever occupied that strip of land in the Middle East had access to all parts of the world, because the trade routes went right through that land. One of the most relentless enemies of Israel at the time were the Arameans. Their king's name was Ben-Hadad. The Arameans were from the region of Syria, which was just north of Israel. These were relentless warriors who were known for surrounding a city by attacking when the people were most vulnerable, or laying siege to the people until they starved to death. During this particular time, God was telling Elisha what the enemy was doing. Elisha would get a vision from God and would be told various secrets about what their army was doing. Then he would tell the king of Israel to avoid particular cities because the Arameans wanted to attack him there. So they avoided going to those places. It says on several occasions this happened. Sounds crazy, I know. Now listen to what the king of Aram responded. The mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. He called his officers and said to them, "Now tell me, who among us sides with the king of Israel?" Ben-Hadad thought he had a double agent on his crew, right? How else would Israel know this? He had a traitor who was giving secrets to the enemy. Then one of the officers said, "No one, my lord king. It is Elisha, the prophet of in Israel, who tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Okay, I don't know what would disturb me more. A traitor or a guy who could hear my pillow talk, right? It's a tie. The point is that Elisha, the man of God, was hearing the secret plans of the enemy. So when Ben-Hadad heard this, he said, "I want to find this man of God Elisha. I'm going to seize him. I'm going to stop him. Where is he? His advisor said, he's in Dothan. So they went there to stop Elisha. Now, through the night, Ben-Hadad and his army found Dothan and surrounded Elisha. Look at what it says. When Elisha's servant woke up and went out early in the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? Remember that phrase, horses and chariots. It's going to come into play quite a few times in the next few minutes. So Elisha's servant wakes up, and you just see it, looks out. Oh, my gosh, there's horses and chariots everywhere. We're surrounded. Which leads to a very important observation. God was always warning Elisha where the enemy was attacking. So why didn't God say, hey, Elisha, wake up. Get out of here. The enemy's coming. I'll tell you why. Because God knows it's only in times of distress and anxiety that we find out if we have faith in God or not. This was a time for Elisha to show his faith. I mean, anyone can have faith when life is always peachy. If you're always sheltered from adversity. But it is in times in which you wake up and are completely surrounded by your enemy that reveals what you really believe. So the servant was panicked, okay? The servant was panicked, and then the prophet Elisha answered, don't be afraid. Okay, I won't. You know, what are you going to say to that? Imagine how frightening it must have been to look out and see your enemy all around you. But we're told that Elisha didn't freak out with fear. And it wasn't because he had an escape plan. There was no escape plan. It wasn't because he had this secret biological weapon. It was because he knew who God is. And this is proven by this next statement. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He knew that me plus God equals the majority. That's perspective. And notice what Elisha did for his servant. He didn't condemn him for his lack of faith. He didn't judge him or look down on him. No. Here's what he did. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Remember what I told you to look up? Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around them to protect them. Elisha could stand firm because he knew that no enemy could defeat him. He knew that he was part of a movement that was bigger than himself. He had all of heaven on his side. His servant didn't realize that until what? Do you know what Jesus, did you see what Elisha did? He prayed for his servant to see. There's so many times in my and be thou my vision, God. God, give me your eyes. It wasn't, hey servant, you're not looking hard enough, right? The only way he could see was through the power of God. There are many times in life when I just can't see. So I need you, the living body of Christ, to see for me. And I know there are times you can't see, and I can be there for you. Or as a friend of mine used to say, when you don't have faith, borrow some of mine. Together we can see what God is up to when nothing else makes sense. So the obvious question is how? How do we get our eyes to see? How do we get eyes to see? How do your eyes get open spiritually? Like Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. How do we get proper perspective then? It's not really a three-step process. It's more of having a healthy belief system. It's understanding what faith actually is. In sticking with this battle metaphor, surrounded by your enemy, think about how Paul describes faith in Ephesians. He calls it the shield of faith. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say grab the sword of faith or the sandals of faith? Faith isn't an aggressive, offensive stance or a piece of the armor. It's a defensive piece of the armor. My faith protects me. Think about that. Elisha didn't have to say to his servant, let's get ready for battle. He said two words, don't fear. Our faith will protect us. We are in the Lord's army, which is much bigger than us. So why fear? We are protected. We're able to defeat the enemies in life that bring us fear and anxiety, whether it is the enemy of addiction or the enemy of or the fear of future or finances or whatever. When I'm afraid, I must need to remember today's level up truth. And here's the truth for today. My faith is my shield. Now, don't rush past that. Let it sink in. My faith is my cover. No, not the other way around. It's like when Jesus says to John in the Revelation 1, do not be afraid, I am the beginning and the end. You can stand on my authority. I'm with you always. You are protected. It's like the Spartans in the movie, not those Spartans, the real Spartans in the movie 300. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They're coming against the massive Persian army. As the Persians hurl, it's a horrific, beautifully shot scene, probably CGI, but it was still impressive. They hurl hundreds of thousands of arrows through the air. The Spartans are shown just taking and laughing under their shields. They put the shields up like this. They're under them. They're protected. They're laughing at the arrows that they're shooting to no avail. When my faith is a shield, I'm able to hear the Lord say, look at the situation from my perspective. I will give you a new perspective. When everyone else is in fear, you can say, Lord, open my eyes to see. Here's what happens. When we look at things from our perspective, we see the frog. But this is what happens in faith. It's what happened with Elisha. He could see from God's perspective, right? Once he saw the horse, literally. But that was the angel army he saw with God's eyes. That's what happens when you let your faith be your shield. God gets before you and shows you such a better perspective. But when you see through the eyes of faith, like Elisha, you can find what God is up to. Now take this word, for example. This is like a brain teaser morning, isn't it? Take this word. Most of you, I'll just fill in the blanks. Most of you are going to see God is nowhere, right? But a different perspective will say God is now here. Or we'll see through the eyes of being a Michigander. You see this one coming? God is snow here. Yeah. Or God, I snow here. Yeah. Yeah. It means God, comma, I snow here. Yeah. When we pray, God, may my faith in you be my shield, then we will see what is really going on. I saw this in living color a few years ago when I did a funeral of a wonderful lady that died of cancer. Her family was praying for her to be healed, obviously. They knew she was going to be healed. She was going to defeat the cancer. The mom, however, died. At the funeral, the family had a complete peace about them. It was an amazing sight. They said she won. She wasn't cured, but she was healed of cancer forever. She was alive in heaven, and the cancer is now dead. That's faith. It's being able to rise higher than the circumstances and see what God sees. It's saying, Jesus, you said you will be with me always. Then you show yourself to me in this fearful situation. That's at the core of what faith is. The faith is my shield. My faith goes before me and protects me. This is the lens of faith that God calls us to look through consistently through the entirety of the Bible. Over 1,000 years after Elisha lived, the Hebrew writer wrote this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Look at the two words with faith, hope and assurance. Faith in Christ produces a hope that has assurance. Think about what hope is in the secular world. It's a cross your fingers, knock on wood, lucky charm kind of thing. That's the kind of hope that has in a phantom nothing. But faith, when it is in our Creator, it's filled with confidence and it's filled with a solid assurance. I know what's going to happen. There's evidence everywhere if you'll just have the courage to engage in the battle. I don't like when people knock on wood or say something like, be happy because otherwise you'll fall apart. You know what you're doing in that moment? You're giving power to something that has no power. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that the enemy can use. You know, you're going to find bad things. You're going to, I can't be happy. I must be doing something wrong. The only wood you should be knocking on is the cross. I know that's a pastor thing to say, but seriously, knock, knock, knock. Lord, help me to see what's going on here. I'm in a mess. What enemy is trapping you? You aren't a good parent, so I'm just going to stop trying. You're going to get fired because you know if they can do this job without you. You know, she's only being nice to you because she feels sorry for you. Those are all enemies. They're also our enemies that have you under siege if you have any of those feelings. What enemy has you under siege? You haven't faced your fear? You've been hiding ever since that event occurred, maybe? Open your eyes and let your faith shield you. Lord, just like Elisha, I pray that our eyes be opened to see the great things you want to do with our lives. Give us courage. That should be our prayer. Now, how do you make muddy water clear? Nothing. You just let it rest. Elisha didn't fight his enemy with his own strength. We learned about rest a little bit last week. He rested in the truth of the army of God surrounding his enemy. It's like when my grandkids get hurt and they just rest in my lap. Slowly the tears fade. They're held. They're protected. They're given new courage to face the challenge ahead of them. So with that in mind, think of your current stressor, situation, or person, or whatever. Do you have that which triggers your anxiety in your mind right now? In my prayer overview is that God will open your eyes. That's how much more God is at work in you than you even realize. That's where the rubber meets the road of faith. To pray with boldness. Jesus, please get beside me and go before me in this battle. I've noticed in Scripture that when God repeats a theme over and over again, it's really there to get our attention. Did you know this concept of God going before you in major victory appears at the end of time? Look at a glimpse of the final war in history. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against the rider on the horse and against his army. So here's the picture. All darkness against all light. The Lord God Almighty. Elisha's story telling us of the servant's eyes being opened to see what? The courses of chariots of fire all around them to protect them happens in the final battle. We need to see the warhorse of victory fighting for us, and the result is the ultimate win, and the beast was captured. The war to end all wars is the shortest war in all of history. Why? Because Jesus has already defeated our enemy. So whom should we fear? Death itself has been swallowed up. That happened when Jesus walked out of the grave. If God is for you, who can be against you? Face your fear, whatever enemy has trapped you. Let's wear our shield of faith with confidence as we sing out the God who is worthy of our praise to the one who is holy over all the universe. And again, just to go back to Be Thou My Vision, the last verse says, Great God of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. The victory is won. Heart of my own heart. That's intimate, isn't it? That's an intimate relationship with your Creator. So I hope He gives you eyes to see this week. See into the eyes of another person who's hurting and maybe needs your conversation. See into the eyes of someone on the street that needs a hand up. I just ask that each of you have hearts that love and eyes that see. Let's pray. Father God, you do give us blessed assurance that you are ours and we are yours. We look to you in times of struggle and strife, just as we look to you when things are peachy and good. Be our vision. Amen.